Blog Talk Radio.
Ladies, if your boyfriend isn't listening to B-Spec,
Brian Spector,
then reach over, grab his knob, and turn it up.
We ready! We ready! We ready! We ready!
Football fans, it's that time for the NFL Spectacular with B-Spec, Brian Spector.
You know Big Papi.
If you want to get in on the show, then dial 347-945-6275. Or, for all you computer nerds, you can go online at NFLDraftBible.com.
Spector always delivers what he promises.
He's your resident football expert.
Are you serious? Malin couldn't hit water if he fell out of a boat.
The king of the combine.
The guy runs the 40-yard dash in 4 forever.
He's the voice of the angry fan.
If that happens, I might as well go hang myself with wax dental floss.
He's B-Spec, Brian Spector.
Yes! Yes! Oh, yes!
I'm absolutely, without a doubt, a true believer.
And he's on right now on the All Access Football Network.
Shut your pie hole! We're working it!
Let's get ready to rumble!
After last night's performance by the Minnesota Vikings, it's hard for me to think there's anything but a schism, as I'm quoting. A schism is anywhere in that Minnesota Vikings locker room or organization. Good afternoon, folks. Brian Spector with you, taking you until 6 o'clock here on the All Access Football Network. How's everybody doing this afternoon? The regular season is getting closer and closer. We're wrapping up the final stages of the preseason. Everybody out there has got to be excited. I know I'm excited. There are no schisms here at the All Access Football Network. We bring you wall-to-wall NFL coverage, college football all season long, and this is what we've all been waiting for. And there are no schisms here, and like I said earlier, I don't know what that word schism is, but there were no problems with the Minnesota Vikings based on what I saw last night. Brett Favre, 13 of 18, 142 yards, touchdown, no turnovers. And if Brett Favre plays like that, and he shows he's healthy, Minnesota's going to be a tough team to beat. That defense last night was tenacious. Knocking Steve Slayton around, Matt Schaub got hurt, not a shocker. But the one guy I feel bad for in this entire situation is Sage Rosenfels. I feel that Rosenfels is going to be judged on that Indianapolis game last year that he lost to the Houston Texans with all those turnovers in the final 2 minutes. Because when you look at the Texans right now and you think Matt Schaub can't stay healthy, I call Matt Schaub Matt Chandelier because he got injured again as he hurt his ankle last night. Your backup quarterback is Dan Orlovsky, who's infamous for running out of the back in the end zone and getting a safety in Detroit last year, not knowing where the end line was in the back of the end zone. Dan Orlovsky is a terrible quarterback. Sage Rosenfels has got to be thinking right now, well, if I have to have stayed in Houston, I might be playing right now. Instead, I'm in Minnesota thinking I'm going to get an opportunity to play in the Twin Cities between me, between Tavares Jackson, and all of a sudden, Brett Favre decides he wants to come back. You have to feel bad for a guy like Sage Rosenfels. But I'll tell you, I was wrong. Brett Favre played well, and I'm not going to sit here and completely criticize myself for being hard on Favre. It's still the preseason. We haven't played one regular season game yet. It'll be interesting to see what happens when the Minnesota Vikings kick off week one in Cleveland. But it helps when you have Adrian Peterson running for a 75-yard touchdown. It will be very interesting to see what happens. Can Brett Favre get into a Super Bowl? I still don't think so. They're a playoff team. A lot of other teams have improved. I just don't think he's good enough to get the ball all the way at this point in his career. I don't think so. And I want to talk about this supposed issue with the Minnesota locker room. The schism that came out last week. And the drama's already starting, folks. Brett Favre believes he had a cracked rib. Brett Favre's a quarterback. He's a drama queen. He's a prima donna. He's also now a doctor. I'm telling you, I don't know what other careers Brett Favre has. But we're going to call him the Renaissance Man because apparently he can do it all and he knows it all. Supposedly there are players behind Boris Jackson, players behind Sid Rosenfeld, players that don't give a damn about Brett Favre and don't think he should be there. But here's what I'm going to say in reference to that. All that might be true. Those opinions don't matter. As long as the team goes out and plays football, that's what matters. Will they win or lose? I don't believe they're going to start pointing fingers. If anyone's under pressure, it's the organization. It only matters what Ziggy Wilf thinks and what Rick Spielman thinks and what Brad Childress thinks. That's all that matters because the pressure is going to fall down on the owner, the general manager, and the head coach. And Brad Childress right now is a lame duck coach. Childress wanted Favre. The owner, Ziggy Wilf, wanted Favre. No other opinions matter. Brad Childress doesn't give a damn if some of his players come to Tavares or someone Sage. Brett Favre is going to be the quarterback of this football team, bearing injury. And any player that's not behind it, better get behind it and better get used to it because number four is going to be behind center. And let's not forget, has Brett Favre missed games due to injury? He's played in 200 and some odd consecutive football games. He's the Iron Man of the NFL. So all those guys that are backing Sage Rosenfels and backing Tavares Jackson in hopes that Brett Favre is going to get hurt, slim to none. Your goal is to win. Any way to win the game, you go out and you do it. And there's nothing that's going to change that. It doesn't matter one bit. And what I saw from the Vikings last night, I was very impressed. I was even impressed by Favre's blocking technique. Percy Harvin takes the ball from the Wildcat. He runs left, and Brett Favre goes right at the knee of Eugene Wilson. Was that a dirty hit? Yes. That was a cut block. There's going to be a fine, guaranteed, coming Brett Favre's way, passed down by the commissioner, Roger Goodell. I give credit. He's going to be 40 years old. He did try and take a defensive back out. I admire the courage, but it was kind of stupid. For the reason that it wasn't a legal block. And number two, Brett, you're going out our defensive back trying to block, and you're leaning into him, throwing in your throwing shoulder. Probably wasn't the brightest idea in the world, considering that this organization is leaning on you to get them to the playoffs and potentially the promised land. And he supposedly already has a little bit of a torn rotator cuff. A supposed cracked rib, and then you're leaning into the right side of your body that already has sustained all the supposed damage that he says. So I'm not going to say that was the smartest play by Brett Favre. It's going to be interesting when the season kicks off next week. The storylines, what's going to happen? Brett Favre in Cleveland. Tom Brady back with the Patriots. Will Matt Stafford start over Dante Culpepper? Mark Sanchez been named the starter for the Jets. Do Giants have a number one receiver? Will Michael Crabtree back actually sign a contract? Is Todd Haley going to call the plays in Kansas City the entire season? Is the AFC West the worst division in football? I mean, San Diego has to have that division wrapped up by week 8. Kyle Orton actually suit up week 1. Pac-Man Jones to CFL, the Winnipeg Blue Bombers. How long will that last? NFL teams still have the right to sign Pac-Man Jones. He can choose to go to the NFL over the CFL if an NFL team is interested. If not, Pac-Man's going to Winnipeg. It'll be interesting to see what happens there. Mike Brown, the Bengals, finally sign Andre Smith. And they get his fat ass in the camp. And Andre Smith is fat, lazy, and out of shape. He's dedicated, and he's in shape. He's a hell of a player. I've yet to see it. But at the combine, when Andre Smith went AWOL, he's a hell of a talent, and the Bengals are going to have to make sure his head is screwed on straight, and they're going to need him in there. He's going to have to protect the blind side of Carson Palmer. Palmer had the knee surgery. He had the elbow problem. You've got to protect your franchise quarterback. Can we please stop making a big deal about Michael Vick? It's driving me crazy, the fact that Michael Vick was 4-for-4 for 19 yards. He played 6 plays, and he had 1 rush for 1 yard. What's so great about those numbers? Is it great because he didn't have a turnover? Then fine. Can we please stop making a big deal about Michael Vick being an Eagle already? He didn't do anything out of this world. He hasn't played in 2 years. Fine.
Everywhere I go, all around the world, people still support Mike Vick. So regardless of what I go through, people are going to love me, man.
I don't know, regardless of what you go through, Mike, better make sure you're on top of your game in Philadelphia because those fans will eat you alive. Michael Vick's going to play the last preseason game against the Jets to get some more work, right? He's going to be suspended for 6 more games. Let's not forget, Michael Vick's going to be out the first 6 games of the season, and then Roger Goodell's going to decide after 6 games if he wants to reinstate him or not. There's an old expression, no risk, no reward. It can't hurt the Eagles. All he can do is help. We're not going to know until the middle of the season when he comes back. And even then, it's going to take him some time to get the legs back under him. It's a regular season game. You're not playing against the buddies. You're not playing the third and fourth stringers. You're right now playing against guys that aren't going to make an NFL roster. Maybe you, give or take, will make an NFL roster, but not many. You have to see what Michael Vick is going to do in the middle of the season. He's going up against some of the best offensive linemen and best linebackers. That's how you judge Michael Vick. You can't judge Michael Vick completing a 3-yard pass or having a 40 or 50-yard run on guys that are as good as me. When he's completing passes on Champ Bailey, and he's swinging past Jason Taylor and Sean Merriman and Marcus Ware and Joey Porter and John Abraham, and name all these great linebackers, you can say, wow, Michael Vick is actually making progress. But until then, I'm sick and tired of people talking about 4-for-4 and rush for 1 yard. He looked good. No, he didn't. He looked stream. He didn't get hurt. He didn't have a turnover. Great. Congratulations. I'm sick and tired of hearing about Michael Vick and that he played well. No, he didn't. He played all right. Nothing out of the ordinary. I don't want to hear about, oh, he looked good against the Jets. He didn't look good against the Jets. It's preseason. Nobody gives a crap. It means nothing. And a man that will probably agree with me on that is Justin Van Fulpen from the NFL Draft 5 and Next Level Scouting, who is now joining us on the All Access Sports Line, regular contributor to the show. Justin, Michael Vick was 4-for-4 for 19 yards and a rush for 1 yard. Can we stop obsessing that?
You know, everybody wanted to know where he would sign, what he would do, you know, what was going to go on with Michael Vick, when's he going to be eligible, would he go to the UFL? So, I mean, I understand as far as the enamoration with, you know, Michael Vick, but like you said, you know, it's preseason, it's 4-for-4, it's, as far as the throws weren't that, you know, weren't that deep, there were some dump offs, some check downs and stuff like that, and, you know, that's good, that's what he needs to do, he needs to get back and show that he can play in the NFL, and everybody knew before he went to prison he could play. He hasn't hit the age barrier where the, you know, age has caught up with him. So he's got some years left in the NFL. So he's not going to be the starter for, you know, Philadelphia when they open the season. Don McNabb is going to be the starting quarterback. If McNabb gets hurt, which, you know, he has had in the past tendency to do, you know, they brought in a good experienced backup who could make some plays and maybe throw him in some wildcat and some other formations during the regular season with McNabb in there and see how things work out for him.
What people keep forgetting is that Michael Vick is going to be out the first 6 games of the season. What he's doing now doesn't mean anything. They're not really implementing any kind of offense in the system. They're doing the little things. You know, everything is a vanilla playbook right now. These teams are not going to show anybody a piece of what they really want to show in the regular season, and Michael Vick's going to be out those first 6 games. So it really doesn't matter. And even when he comes back, it's going to be an adjustment period. And we don't know if Roger Goodell's going to let him in after 6 games anyway.
I think what the, you know, and I could be wrong here, Brian, but I think the thing was is he will be suspended up to 6 games. I mean, he could be reinstated in week 1 or, you know, as far as could take 6 weeks to reinstate him. So I don't know if we've got a ruling on when he will be reinstated or if he will, you know, be reinstated. But I think by week 6 he'll be reinstated, and it could be earlier if I'm not mistaken.
And you know what's funny, Justin? I have people here emailing me talking about Brett Favre and Michael Vick, and I've been inconsistent on my point. My point is that Michael Vick was 4-for-4 for 19 yards and 1 run for 1 yard, okay? Brett Favre, preseason means nothing. Brett Favre, last night, didn't make mistakes. Like I said about Michael Vick, he had a touchdown pass, he had a high completion percentage, and he showed me that he's got a firm grasp of that offense in Minnesota, and he beat a very good Houston team where Michael Vick was in for 6 plays. Brett Favre played the entire 3 quarters.
Oh, yeah, definitely. But I think, you know, as far as, you know, Brett Favre knew the offense coming from his days there in Green Bay and was accustomed to, you know, that West Coast type offense that Minnesota is running. But I think everybody got sick and tired of the Brett Favre. Is he going to retire? Is he not going to retire? So as far as when they got the Michael Vick story, he was a guy who was coming from prison and, you know, hasn't been working out, hasn't played in the league for 2 seasons, and we've seen Brett Favre do it over and over again. So it's not, I don't think it's a big shock of what you know, Brett Favre did. The question was, what will he do in week 8, 9, 10, you know, 11 when we start wearing down the season? His arm gets a little bit tired, and he is 40 years old. But Michael Vick, hey, you know, that was the hot story as far as whether it be protesters, how the fans react to him. And they react to him well. I mean, as you expect as far as a hometown crowd would. Now we'll see when he, you know, gets a chance to go on the road and play what the reception of Michael Vick will be and different things like that because of his dogfighting, scandal that he had served 2 years in prison for.
No, I agree. And joining us the All Access Sports Line is Justin Van Fulpen from the NFL Draft Bible. Next Level Scouting does a terrific job. Justin, I don't know if you saw, but there is breaking news right now that Andre Smith, just signed by the Cincinnati Bengals, they finally got him into camp, has fractured his foot during non-contact drills to Cincinnati. He fractured the left foot. And you and I have had numerous discussions about Andre Smith, how he went AWOL at the combine. He's a complete knucklehead. And maybe it's a little bit of karma. Non-contact drill. And this happens to Andre Smith.
Yeah, it's too bad, you know. I mean, as far as, yeah, he's made some boneheaded, you know, mistakes and done some different things. But you always like to see people, you know, right the wrong. And unfortunately, you know, he won't be able to do that this season. But, you know, he's a guy who had a lot of talent, you know, came as far as Alabama. You know, as far as during the season, a lot of people thought maybe he'd be the number one overall pick in this year's draft because of the dominance he had and, you know, the Jake Long experience that down there in Miami, how it worked out with Jake Long and them going from, you know, 1-15 team to 11-5 and win the division playoff because of that left tackle. And thought Andre Smith could have been that type of a player. You know, unfortunately, he didn't show that during his, you know, pre-draft workouts and combine and, you know, interviews. Not the level of Jake Long, was, you know, didn't slip out of the top 10 and was a top 10 pick by the Cincinnati Bengals, who need some help up that offensive line, and now, you know, ends up with the injury, which is unfortunate.
It really is, especially when he was going to protect the blind side of Carson Palmer, who has the elbow problem, had the knee surgery. It's going to be very interesting to see who they got at left tackle right now.
Well, you know, too bad you're not big enough. They'd probably call you.
You're probably right. I wonder what the NFL minimum salary is. I can hang, put me on an island. The guy might run right past me. That's some pretty good dough, wouldn't you think so?
For sure.
Well, one knucklehead finally came into camp, and I feel bad for the young man for the injury and with a fractured foot for a left tackle when you're pivoting off that foot, especially on the left side, Justin. You have to think he could be out for an extensive period of time.
Yeah, definitely. You know, he might be gone for the whole season. You'll have to see, you know, what the medical people say and kind of what the prognosis are, you know, coming down the pipeline there.
Will Michael Crabtree actually sign a contract with the 49ers before you and I are eligible for Social Security?
I sure hope so. You know, I mean, you know, we saw that. You know, I remember remember Andre Wadsworth many, many years ago with the Arizona Cardinals, and he didn't sign until like the third week of the season.
Sure. That's going to be interesting, though, because I don't see any resolution in sight. You know, McLaughlin, the general manager of the 49ers, we're not worried. We made a lot of progress. Well, no offense there, Mr. GM. You're not making much progress. The regular season is 1 week away, and the guy hasn't even been to camp yet.
Yeah, I mean, you got to get him in there and get him signed. I mean, he you know, it's like we've talked before, that as far as the receiver position is definitely a more difficult position to master and to come in and make an impact than, let's say, a running back position. You know, they've got to be in tune with the quarterbacks, and obviously the quarterbacks there in San Francisco aren't lighting up the world there with the Alex Smith and the Sean Hills of the world, and, you know, Sean Hill will be the starter, and they need to get some chemistry down there with Michael Crabtree if they're going to make a chance to you know, win some games. I mean, I don't think, you know, San Francisco is a playoff, you know, contender type team, but you like to see him get in there and try to build some momentum here for the future.
I have said from the beginning, and you know this, you and I are at the combine, I've spoken to numerous agents about this, and NFL personnel people, I said Matt Stafford would be the quarterback of the Detroit Lions. I said he would start week one. I know Cole Peppers played well. I'm still sticking by Stafford. Week one. I know Sanchez starting for the Jets. What is your assessment? Is Matt Stafford going to start week one for the Detroit Lions?
Well, I think, you know, it all comes down to the health of Dante Culpepper. Yeah, he had an injury there at home this past weekend as far as having a cut on his foot, so he won't play in Thursday's preseason finality. But, you know, I think if he's healthy, you know, as far as Dante Culpepper is going to be the starter there with the Detroit Lions, because he hasn't done too much to really ruin that opportunity to be that starter. And, you know, Stafford looked well in the preseason. He had the bad game there in Cleveland, and he'll get a lot of time here in Buffalo on Thursday. But yeah, I don't think he's done enough to just say, hey, yeah, you've got to put him in there. And, you know, Dante Culpepper hasn't looked horrible and said, hey, we can't win some games with Dante Culpepper at the helm. So I think if Culpepper's healthy, they will start the veteran and let him, you know, as far as Matthew Stafford, sit there and kind of watch there for, you know, some weeks and see what they, you know, end up doing as far as record-wise. And then by week 8, if they're, you know, 1-7, then, you know, that's when Stafford, you know, would definitely be in for sure.
That's a fair assessment. And joining us is Justin Van Fulpen of the NFL Draft 5 for the Next Level Scouting. Justin, here's something I was thinking about earlier. And I've been watching some of these games. I've been watching some bad football, unfortunately. I really think the AFC West this year is going to be not only the worst division in football outside of San Diego, it could be one of the worst divisions in the NFL over the course of the season in a long time. San Diego can have this baby coming up by week.
Yeah, I mean, as far as after you get away with San Diego, Denver's not going to be that good. To me, they're a top 10 in the next year's draft. Unfortunately, they gave that pickup to Seattle. Kansas City, again, another. I think Kansas City, Raiders, and Denver, when we're looking at the draft next year, will all be in the top 10 drafting. And, you know, San Diego will probably win that division by week, 12, week 13, something ridiculous. And just, you look at it and say, hey, these guys got it all wrapped up. Because San Diego's a good team, and they play in a super weak division, especially with Denver and getting rid of Jay Cutler and what they're going to be able to do at the quarterback position.
Justin, something I really wanted to touch on. I know we have some women that listen to the show. You know, I know her very well, is this Aaron Andrews situation that transpired with the internet and the video that was out there. And I know her personally. It was something that upset me. And, you never want to see any woman go through that. And we live in a society that's crazy, that nobody should ever be susceptible to that. And, everyone should be able to have home privacy when they're in their household or in a hotel or wherever it is. Everybody's entitled to their privacy. And I have fully backed her up on this story. And I've read a story where she just taped an interview with Oprah. She's going to be appearing on Oprah. And, you know, Justin, I was thinking that when something like this happens, when you're out of sight and you don't mention it, out of mind. And I don't know if going on Oprah is going to help keep that story out of sight, out of mind. When people see her, they're not going to be thinking about, the situation. And I know this is a little bit off the track. Do you feel Aaron Andrews going on Oprah to talk about the situation? I know we can look at it from the perspective of it makes people more aware, speaking on awareness, but I don't know if going on really helps her situation, that maybe she's looking for more credibility, maybe it contradicts a lot of what's going on. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, I think the biggest thing is going on Oprah is, it's probably, good for her, maybe it's good for her on a psychological standpoint to get out there and talk about it, with somebody as well-respected as Oprah Winfrey. And also I think it brings awareness to some issues and with her star power that she does have, as far as covering sports for ESPN and a very attractive young woman and be able to kind of come out there and speak about that and be able to educate people and how it affects people and how it affects, someone that is a victim to those types of situations. I think it's probably going to do good, for, hopefully some people that look at that and say, hey, it's not all fun and games and stuff like that. It's not all jokes. It's not all, different, whatever you want to, call it. It's not there to make a dollar. It is people, you're messing with people's lives and people's, emotional and psychological, beings there. And really, I think if it was my situation, you might want to, like I said, just sight, out of mind, out of sight, set out sight, out of mind, But I think as far as what she's trying to do is really bring that awareness and, and trying to maybe, stop some of these senseless things that go on a day-to-day basis.
You're right. And the one thing I feel bad about, Justin, is she does a terrific job. Maybe she wants to get out of sports, go into entertainment or news one day. Nobody really knows. But Thursday night, when you and I or anyone else in the media are watching, the North Carolina game and she's on the sidelines, it's going to be it's not right. It's going to be difficult for people to look at her on the TV and not associate her with a scandal or think about her based on what happened on the internet and not look at her as a beautiful woman that's an excellent sideline reporter. And it's a shame, like I said, with our society that people are not going to be able to look at this woman for the great person she is in her career and look at her for the stupid reasons of the crazy people we have in society that take advantage. You know, I mean, I didn't get it.
Yeah, you know, it's a tough thing, and hopefully, you know, she can get back to the status that she was. And, you know, I think a lot of people do respect her, and there's a lot of knuckleheads out in this world, and unfortunately there's nothing that, you know, anybody can do. It's people's got to take responsibility for their actions, and people's got to grow up and understand as far as you can't do, there's certain things that cross the lines, and as far as we see a lot of, you know, things that have progressed and progressed with the internet and different things like that, which technology is great, but sometimes it can be used for harm, and this is definitely a case where it's been used for harm.
I couldn't agree with you more, and, you know, we've a lot of women in our, you know, we have a lot of people in our business, women, that do an absolutely incredible job. From Andrea Kramer to Erin Andrews to Nicole Mansky, Michelle Tafoya, I mean, you could say whatever you want about how looking a woman is, whatever it is. And I know we're all about sex appeal. You know, people have to look good. We want people to look good on TV, especially when their looks are appealing to the public. But we have to give credit where it's due. There are a lot of women in our business that do an absolute incredible job. And Erin Andrews is one of those women. It's a shame that this had to happen to her.
Yeah, you know, and hopefully, you know, hopefully as far as we won't have to see another incident like this for a very long time.
So, listen, I heard you will not get the combine this year, that you will not be able to go because you have a hangnail. So it's impacting your ability to focus and drive and on the road and come out to Indianapolis and work this year. Kind of like what's happening to Kyle Orton, you know?
Oh, yeah, you know.
You have to be kidding me. He cut his finger, and he's holding it up as if it fell off. I mean, is this a joke or what? You're the starting quarterback for an NFL team. You cut your finger on a Gunlier's helmet. I know it's your pivot finger you throw the football off of. Go to the sideline, put some Neosporin on, strap on a Band-Aid, and get your ass back out there. How
yeah,
ridiculous
you know,
was that?
Well, you know, I think, you know, as far as Kyle Orton has taken a lot of heat and stuff like that, and maybe that was a way to kind of say, okay, hey, I can get out of this game. And as far as because there was a lot of pressure being the Chicago Bears, being Jay Cutler coming back, and, you know, and maybe he thought it was something more serious and stuff like that. But like you had said, I mean, go ahead, get it taken care of and get back in the game, and, you know, as far as get some reps and get ready for the regular season, because you guys got a long road ahead of you if you're going to try to make a respectability there in Denver.
I mean, Denver's in a lot of trouble. Kyle Orton, some of the throws that he's has made this preseason have just been ugly.
Yeah, that's for sure. That is for sure. I mean, he hasn't done well to ingratiate himself with the fans of Denver after having a Pro Bowl quarterback leave, you know, and Jay Cutler. And I think the biggest thing is this is Josh McDaniel's legacy, you know, and this is what, you know, he made a stink and traded Jay Cutler, and hey, you know, basically he tried to say, hey, anybody that comes into my system, I can make them a start to quarterback position. And I think as far as, unfortunately, Josh McDaniel's going to find that is not the case, and is going to wish, when this season's over, he's going to wish he had Jay Cutler back, because he either is going to have a very bad record, or he's going to be fired. You know, and there's nothing that's going to come out there for Josh McDaniel. So wish him the best of luck, because he might be back in New England in no time, being back at Bill Belichick's staff.
And you make a good point, too. And again, folks, we're talking with Justin Van Fulton of the NFL Draft Bible and Next Level Scouting. Justin, you name me a New England assistant that went out to be some kind of a head coach that's been successful. We can name Romeo Crennel. Charlie Weiss, the verdict is still out. I wouldn't really call him successful right now. Josh McDaniel, Eric Mangini. I mean, come on. Has there really been any success with any of these guys?
No, and that's the biggest thing. And I think, you know, a lot of people thought, hey, let's get a Bill Belichick disciple. And really, there hasn't been anybody that's really stands out. You know, I mean, he's had a good system. He's a very good coach. And, you know, he had a bad time in Cleveland, and it kind of turned around there in New England, and hopefully guys like Romeo Crennel can find another job, and maybe Eric Mangini, he was okay, and maybe he turns things around here in Cleveland, and Charlie Weiss, I mean, he's still there in Notre Dame, and got a lot of pressure on him for this season to be able to win. If he doesn't, he's going to get the boot. So, yeah, I mean, there hasn't been that, that those great coaches falling off that Bill Belichick coaching tree, but, I mean, there's always going to be that next hot coach and next guy that's going to be, like, off that Bill Walsh tree, and you get a bunch of different very good, outstanding coaches. Unfortunately, that hasn't been the case with Bill Belichick's regime.
And speaking now onto the Bill Belichick regime, we know he comes from the Parcells tree. Another guy that comes from the Parcells tree has been Scott Pioli, Todd Haley. How the hell do you fire your offensive coordinator a week and a half before the season starts? Can get canned in Kansas City? I know Kansas City sucks. They're in a major rebuilding phase. Excuse me to all the Kansas City fans out there. I know I'm being a little trash. It is what it is. But how do you fire your offensive coordinator a week and a half before the season?
Well, you know, I mean, you should have made that decision long before we got into this. You got into this preseason training camp and stuff like that. And there was, if that's not who you wanted to go with, then there was going to be a, you know, an issue there. Whatever that issue may be, that should have been handled in the off season, so that when the teams come in there, when the players come in there and fresh, they kind of know, okay, hey, because anybody wants to know, okay, hey, if this is the guy's calling the plays, you know, you want to know kind of what he's thinking, especially on a quarterback standpoint, so you can get comfortable with his system, what he, what kind of he wants to run, so that you can say, okay, make suggestions, make, you know, point out different things to him so that you guys can improve and do better. And so, yeah, I mean, that was a very odd move to go ahead and get rid of Chan Gailey as the offensive coordinator so close to the season. Now, there's been many times that an offensive or defensive coordinator got fired during the season because the plan that they had in place didn't work, but this, they never even got a shot to execute that plan. And, you know, Chan Gailey's been around the NFL and around football for many, many years, so he's not a new guy on the block just trying to run an offense, you know, just this year. And he's been a head coach with the Dallas Cowboys, and, you know, as far as the credentials he's had in the past, and, you know, hopefully he can kind of land on his feet somewhere.
What did you think of Brett Favre? First off, and I have to go back to Brett Favre. That block he put on Eugene Wilson yesterday, clearly a cut block, okay? And here's the thing with Brett Favre, too, is he's talking about, you know, I think I have a cracked rib, and I have a partially torn ligament in my shoulder, my rotator cuff. So Brett Favre is a diva. He's a prima donna. He's a quarterback. And apparently he's a doctor right now, too. That block. What do you read into that block that he made? First off, it was pretty stupid because he's leaning in with his throwing, or leaning in with the part of his body that's kind of breaking down.
Well, I think that's why people love Brett Favre, is because, you know, he is that guy who's a consummate kid out on the playground. And, you know, if you're a kid on the playground, you're going to make that block to try to get that reverse there. Whether if you're the quarterback or not, you know, you're going to try to go all out. Even it is preseason. That's the side that people really love, is that passion for the game. That guy who's going to give it all 100%, you know, down in and down out. And the guy that they don't like is, like you said, the diva, the prima donna, the medical guy, the guy who's going to retire, retire, maybe play in Minnesota. Hey, it was a chance phone call by Brad Childress. That's the reason I'm here, not because I didn't want to go to training camp. And that's the guy that people dislike. So it's those two sides of Brett Favre, but it's that guy who made that block, that's what the fans and that's what the people at home were watching and saying, hey, that's the reason why I like number four, and I'm a big fan of Brett Favre. I mean, that's what that average fan is looking at him and saying, hey, that guy's given 110%. When you look at, you know, as far as other guys like Michael Crabtree, who we mentioned earlier today, he's not even in camp. He's not even, you know, not even going to show up. And Kyle Orton, his finger's bleeding, and he's got to go out and doesn't ever come back in the game. And Brett Favre goes ahead and does that. So that's why that guy who goes, takes his lunch pail to work every day and is that blue-collar worker, that's why they're fans of Brett Favre.
And up, and Justin, I got a couple more quick things before I let you go. I guess the economies are starting to hit the NFL as up to 12 teams could face blackouts locally where all their local coverage, they won't be on TV. Is this something or what?
Well, you know, I think, you know, it's different. You know, the economy is there, but I think one thing the NFL or teams should do, you know, I mean, they've been that cash cow and be able to charge where they want for tickets. If they really want to not have a blackout, they could do some type of reduction in tickets. You know, there's different promotions and different ways to be able to fill that stadium up. And I think eventually when it's all said and done, I think there won't be any blackouts, at least for the first, you know, regular season game there, whatever that regular season game is, and that stadium's opening there in the NFL city, because somebody will come in there and buy those tickets up. I've seen it many years, even as far as here in Detroit, when the Lions have stunk for many years, even when they were at the Pontiac Silverdome, they always would sell out just so that they could be on TV, and a big corporation might come in to buy tickets. And I still think you'll see that happening, just because what the NFL represents and what the people, even though in a down-on economy, still look at the NFL being a very good product to be able to market your product to and with, and to be able to have some type of synergy. So everybody loves to go to the NFL games, that's for sure.
And they love to go to the NFL games, but even with the economy, I know people are starting to use it as a crutch a little bit too, Justin. Teams you would think would lower some prices, make them more affordable for people to go. I mean, I know the NFL, everyone is in a business to make money. Everybody wants to make money. The more money everybody makes, the happier everybody is, supposedly. You know, and we know it's all about making money. But in the NFL, they are a money-making machine. There is a lot of money. I think teams should lower these prices, so that way some of these people that don't necessarily get to go to all of these games on a constant basis can afford to take some of their younger children or friends or family members and be able to enjoy the luxury of going to a live football game.
Yep, I couldn't agree with you more, man. And hopefully they'll be able to do that, and hopefully we'll get some, you know, some fans that haven't been able to get exposed to a live regular season NFL game get a chance to do that this season because of some of the promotions maybe the teams would come up with.
And it's a shame that, you know, you're in a city and local, you will not be able to see your local team do a blackout. It really is a shame, and you hope they get it fixed. But I wanted to ask you, Justin, really fast. We know how the New England Patriots are. You and I work in the media. We know how it is. We speak to media relations directors, PR people around the league all the time, where everyone says, this guy is fine, there's nothing to worry about. And people will come out and say, oh, he's fine, he's doing great, when there really is more to a story than what they're portraying. Hence, the New England Patriots, who never tell you anything, always keep things hush-hush, saying Tom Brady is fine. I don't necessarily believe that Tom Brady is fine. What do you think about that shoulder? Can that linger with him the rest of the season?
I definitely think it could, and it could be something that, you know, I mean, I don't think it's going to affect the plays when it comes to those short intermediate routes, but when he tries to get the ball deep downfield to Randy Moss, you know, or Joey Galloway on some of those goal routes and what they're going to try to do with that offense, that could be where you're going to see some issues with that shoulder. You know, hopefully he's fine, but, you know, you never know when it comes to the shoulders and quarterbacks and having to throw the football the way that they have got to throw the football on a weekly, week-to-week basis.
And especially that throwing shoulder, I mean, that's 350 pounds of man, and Albert Hainsworth falling on you, and he's rotating that shoulder. He says he's fine, you know, and you made a great point. You throw those intermediate to short routes, but what's going to happen if you have a shoulder problem? You got to throw that ball downfield. Something can tear, something can rip. You can feel a lot of extended pain, pinch nerves, whatever it is. That would be a concern for the Patriots.
You know, definitely. But, you know, they're going to ride with Tom Brady because he's the only guy that's going to get them a chance to win the Super Bowl, and that's what Bill Belichick and that organization strives for.
He's a franchise. I mean, the franchise is Tom Brady, but there has to be concern. And I'm not going to sit here and buy the fact that Tom Brady is fine. And you have to wonder, last, I mean, he is over the age of 30 right now. Tom Brady is going to be 32 years old. The knee, now potentially the shoulder. It's going to be a little karma coming back and hitting the New England Patriots.
Yeah, you know, maybe they need to find the next Tom Brady, you know, but they definitely, you know, got rid of Matt Castle. Looks like they also released Kevin O'Connell, you know, who they drafted in the third round a couple years ago. You know, with no Tom Brady, New England's going to be in trouble.
That's a little shocking to me, Kevin O'Connell, third round pick. But you know what, I'm not going to judge Bill Belichick. If they cut a guy this early, he must really think he stinks. No offense. And Tom Brady is still a hell of a player. I'm not trying to portray Tom Brady as being an old man because he by far isn't. But you have to wonder, kind of like with Carson Palmer, he had the knee injury and the elbow last year. When quarterbacks start to accumulate a lot of injuries, you have a tendency to worry a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, no doubt. I mean, there's some, I would see some cause for concern there in New England, you know, and hopefully he's all right because he's definitely as far as a torchbearer of the NFL and, you know, great quarterback and a great guy who, you know, who's done it the right way and who's never been, you know, in trouble or never brought any as far as, you know, bad name to the NFL, the New England Patriots, and he's always been a stand-up guy. So hopefully, you know, he's okay and we can get as far as him rolling because he would definitely miss last season when he was injured for the whole season.
And lastly, and again, folks, we're joined by Justin Van Fulpen of the NFL Draft Bible, Next Level Scouting, who's a regular contributor on the NFL Spectacular. Appreciate Justin's time. Justin, Adam Pac-Man Jones, and I know this is a story close to your heart because you and I have a very, very good friend that is actually a general manager of a certain Canadian team that signed Pac-Man Jones to a one-year deal, the Winnipeg Blue Bombers. I know you called. I know we reached out. Pac-Man in the CFL. What do you think about this?
Yeah. I got a call from that particular GM, John Murphy, from Winnipeg Blue Bombers this afternoon after this signing was done. And, you know, we had a good chance to talk for about 15 minutes about Pac-Man and what he brings to the table and what their opportunity is for Pac-Man. And, you know, one thing John had said is, hey, you know, he's a guy who's going to put the Winnipeg Blue Bombers on the map, you know, as far as ESPN's ran it, you know, SI as far as the article, down to the scrolling and stuff like that. And that was a big thing as far as the signing. But the also signing was he's the best player who is not signed that's available to come up there to Winnipeg to play there. You know, and, you know, they're going to play him on offense, they're going to play him on defense, they're going to let him return kicks. And, you know, and he's going to be a guy who, you know, it could energize that locker room. And, it, you know, a very good opportunity for him to kind of show what his wares are, be that consummate team player, you know, and be able to get himself back in the NFL because that's what he wants. And talking with John and for relating some information he did regards to his conversations with Pac-Man before they decided to sign him. You know, Pac-Man has now had a fiance. He's done all the regulations for the drug and alcohol. You know, time they're there to be able to make sure he is 100% straight, 100% on that straight and narrow road. And it definitely wasn't about money. I know a lot of people are saying, hey, you know, you know, he got more money, and I know a lot of people had reported, even Jim Rome was talking about he must have got a lot of money to go there. No, Pac-Man didn't get a lot of money to go to Winnipeg. You know, he was getting more offered by the UFL than he was by the Winnipeg Blue Bombers. And that's one thing that the Blue Bombers, they don't have a big financial investment into him. You know, it's a $54,000 contract, and, you know, it's a one-year deal, and boom, and see what he can do, and hopefully he'll get a chance to play there and make some plays and get himself back in the NFL because that's what he wants.
Well, I'll tell you, and I give a lot of credit to John Murphy, who's a friend of ours and is a general manager for the Winnipeg Bombers, did an excellent job getting this deal done. And let's not forget, Pac-Man Jones was the sixth overall pick in the NFL draft a few years ago. Yes, he's had some issues. Everybody's had issues, but that's in the past. And we're in a business of big football games in the NFL, the CFL, the UFL. It doesn't matter where it is. And the CFL has done wonders for Doug Flutie. It did well for Ricky Williams, too, when he went there for a year. And I think it's great for Pac-Man Jones, and I admire John Murphy. I feel he did an incredible job getting this deal done. I have not spoken to John yet. I will put that phone call in tonight. And I did speak to Pac-Man Jones' agent earlier. They're very excited as well. And I think Pac-Man will do very well for the CFL. So he's engaged right now, and past is the past, and he's moving on for the future. I have no problem giving him a chance. And let's not forget when he got released in Dallas, it's not Jerry Jones. Jerry Jones goes out and does everything. Supposedly his son, Stephen Jones, didn't want Pac-Man, wanted to rid of Terrell Owens. So a lot of people don't think of it from that perspective. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and that's what I mean. And hopefully, like you said, Pac-Man kind of can rebuild himself in the CFL and you know, being as far as hopefully he can help Winnipeg, you know, as far as win a Grey Cup. And that would be great if Pac-Man could come in there, be that cornerback, be the return guy, and play some on offense like what Deion, you know, did. And that's one thing as far as John did say is that, you know, Pac-Man did tell John, hey, you know, you can go ahead and give Deion Sanders a call. He'll vouch for me, stuff like that. And, you know, and Deion Sanders, I mean, he's been a guy who's, you know, as far as a diva and a guy who, you know, hey, prime time and as far as a great guy, but he's done a lot of things to help try to help Pac-Man Jones. And I think as far as Deion's a guy who's never, you never heard about Deion and being in trouble you know, as far as off the field and different things like that. So if Deion's going to go ahead and vouch for him and going to kind of be that mentor like Tony Dungy is for Michael Vick, I think that's a guy that's good. You want to be able to reach out to him and see, kind of see what his take was on it, and that was a positive take, and that was another reason why the Blue Bombers went ahead and moved forward on signing Pac-Man Jones.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. Like I said, I think it's an incredible move by John Murphy. Now, Justin, I want to ask you one quick thing before I let you go. If a CFL team signs a player that was previously in the NFL or a guy that aspires to play in the NFL, even though he hasn't signed a contract yet with Winnipeg, do NFL teams still have a grace period? They decide they want to sign Pac-Man Jones and then he would go to the NFL versus the CFL?
Well, no, I mean, once he signs his contract with the CFL, I mean, then he's the property of the Winnipeg Blue Bombers. One thing that he will have an opportunity, though, is that he will, you know, once the season is over there and around Thanksgiving time, he would then, as far as be eligible to go play in the NFL. So say, you know, then he'd be back being a free agent. So say he plays well, shows good there up in the CFL, then he could say in that last month of the season in the NFL, sign with a contender, a guy who's going to try to make a playoff run and be that cornerback and that defensive back there for the month of December back in the NFL. So there's definitely going to be some opportunities for him to, you know, to show his wear and then be able to get back in the NFL.
There you have it. Justin Van Fulpen of the NFL Draft Bible Next Level Scouting does an absolute terrific job. You can catch his work on the website. He's a regular contributor here on the NFL Spectacular. Justin, my friend, I appreciate the insight. I know you have a lot going on, and can't thank you enough for joining the show, and I'm sure I will speak to you later, my friend, after we pull sit down and talk to John Murphy.
Yeah, we'll talk to you, man.
All right, buddy. Thanks again. That's Justin Van Fulpen from the NFL Draft Bible. Again, folks, it's a terrific job. You can catch his work on the website, and I want to get into this Pac-Man Jones story. You guys want to get in? 347-945-6275. Still some time left on the show. I want to hear from you guys. Pac-Man Jones, NFL, preseason, college football, Rich Rodriguez, University of Michigan. That's a big story right now. College football season kicks off on Thursday. I want to get your thoughts on everything going on. I'm going to talk more about Pac-Man Jones. I'm going to pause and take a quick break really fast. I'm going to come back, talk about this Pac-Man Jones story and what I expect from him in the CFL.
More live fantasy sports radio than anyone on the planet. 7 continuous hours of football, baseball, basketball, and hockey action each Monday through Friday. Plus 7 hours of game day frenzy on Sunday. 30 shows in all from the best fantasy sportscasters in the business, like Craig Davis of FantasyFootball.com, the Audible Cecil Lammy, Paul Greco of Melnick and Greco Fantasy Sports, and the Fantasy Football guys Lyle Conkiel and Kevin Moore. The Fantasy Sports Channel, only on Blog Talk Radio. It's a schedule you can bet on.
What's up, y'all? It's Aubrey Stevenson.
And I'm Dave Mendonca.
If you're looking for a basketball talk show with civilized conversation,
you give me your picks, I tell you why they're wrong.
Build around it, Dave. Come on. This is a basketball franchise 101. I got to break it down for you.
Aubrey, come on. You can't forget the big laugh.
It's a sign of the apocalypse. Dave and Aubrey are in agreement.
Ole, 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 ole.
And big guest.
Darvin Ham.
This is Troy Johnson, a.k.a.
Hi, I'm Mo Taylor.
NBA Breakdown is a place for you. Catch us Sunday nights at 9 p.m. Eastern on blogtalkradio.com/the NBA Breakdown for Hoops Talk, the way it should be.
Take it down.
When your dedication to fantasy sports borders on obsession, you need to get some serious help. No, we don't mean psychiatric help. You need the help that can only be provided by Sports Grumblings. Sports Grumblings covers all of the major fantasy sports end-to-end, churning out player updates, news, strategy tips, cheat sheets, and more, including the world-famous Fantasy Forecast Ranking System, the only comprehensive computer-generated prediction system of its kind. We do all the work needed to make your fantasy team successful, so you don't have to. Go to sportsgrumblings.com today and see for yourself why we are Fantasy Sports Center of Excellence.
Spectacular back on the air. I'm Brian Spector with you, taking you a few more minutes. We'll take your phone calls at 347-945-6275. Some news from around the NFL, folks, just to keep you updated. Browns place offensive lineman Ryan Tucker on injured reserve. Raiders defensive back Nami Asamoah likely out 2 weeks with a wrist injury. Rams deal cornerback Ty Hill, a former first-round pick, to the Atlanta Falcons. Bears to sign cornerback Roderick Hood. The Buccaneers appear ready to release kicker Matt Bryan. Going back to this Pac-Man Jones situation, I think it's a great move by John Murphy and the Winnipeg Blue Bombers. It's about putting them on the map, and Pac-Man Jones does that. He's a former first-round pick, sixth overall of the Tennessee Titans in 2003. And he's going to give credibility to that franchise. He's very talented. You have to be very talented, folks, to be a sixth overall pick in the National Football League. And Pac-Man Jones is clearly very talented. And he will bring a lot to the table to that Winnipeg franchise. So kudos to John Murphy and the Winnipeg Blue Bombers organization. Whether you like Pac-Man Jones or not, folks, it's about winning football games. It's a business. And if Pac-Man Jones helps them win and he puts them on the map, he's already done, then it's successful. If you turn on ESPN and you turn on and you turn to Sports Illustrated and you go to SI.com and you go to CBSSports.com and you go all over the place, Pac-Man Jones signing with the Winnipeg Blue Bombers is all over the place. It's all about PR and gaining credibility. That's what they've done in Winnipeg. Break down the NFL schedule for you as the last of the preseason games are coming up this week. The Jets, Tennessee, and Pittsburgh will kick off the regular season next Thursday. Jets and the Falcons will play this Thursday. Dolphins and Saints will wrap up the preseason as well. What a great kickoff game next week. The Tennessee Titans at Pittsburgh next Thursday night to kick off the season. It cannot get any better than that. And my eyes are going to be glued to the tube to watch those two defenses go at it. It's going to be a low-scoring game, and those are two physical teams that are going to beat the crap out of each other. And if you're an NFL fan, that's what you love to see. That's what you love to see. A couple quick minutes left on the show. 347-945-6275 if you want to get in. I'm Brian Spector, hosting the NFL Spectacular. We are every Tuesday and Thursday from 5 p.m. to 6 p.m. Eastern. Take your calls. A lot of great guests stop by the show as well. Working on a lot of things coming up the next few weeks with the college season here starting on Thursday. NFL regular season kicks off on Thursday. This is the time we all look forward to. A lot of hot storylines, and the storylines will keep getting more and more hot as the season goes on. I want to thank all of you for listening and tuning in. Again, the NFL Spectacular is on every Tuesday and Thursday from 5 to 6 here on the All Access Football Network. I want to thank Justin Van Olpen from the NFL Draft Bible and Next Level Scouting for his support, his contribution to the show. Does a great job. You can catch his terrific work on the website at NFLDraftBible.com. A great job to John Murphy, general manager of the Winnipeg Blue Bombers, for signing Adam Pac-Man Jones. We will be back Thursday, 5 o'clock. College football season gets underway on Thursday. We'll be joined by Dan Moglione from the NFL Draft Bible. and the college football. I'm Brian Spector. We'll see you Thursday at 5 o'clock. Have a good one.